Hi, Living Laugh family. Welcome to this special episode of the Living Laugh podcast. I'm Samantha Shambo, and I'm so thankful that you are here. Today, we are celebrating the launch of my new book, What is Real Happiness? And I've invited my dear friend Carla to come and share with us today. Dr. Carla Sundberg is a general superintendent in the Church of the Nazarene, an author, a preacher, a teacher, and a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. Carla, thank you for being with us today.
I'm so happy to be here. It's a privilege, and I have loved your podcast, and what an honor to get to be on the podcast with you.
Thank you. So let's just start by learning a bit about you.
Okay.
Who is Dr. Carla Sundberg?
Well, first of all, she's just Carla Sundberg.
Okay, she's just Carla Sundberg.
Well, I'm one of those third culture kids, which I don't know if you know what that means, but it means that I was born and grew up in Germany, but my mom was a Canadian, my father was an American, and I grew up in this third culture. And so I'm one of those that when people say, where are you from? You kind of go, I don't know. I'm just from wherever, you know? And
yeah.
I just learned to feel at home wherever that might be. But, you know, you carry that even into your adult life.
Yeah.
It's been good.
Wonderful. The topic of the book that I am launching today is called What is Real Happiness?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a 6-week Bible study from the Sermon on the Mount.
Okay.
So I want to ask you, what brings you most joy and happiness in this season of your life?
Well, that's a really good question. And
yeah.
And I do have to think about it this way, because joy, I'm learning this as
yeah.
I get older. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah.
And so I find that joy maybe versus happiness become two different things.
Yeah.
So the joy that I'm learning is that I can have joy even when everything in life isn't going great, because that's something that comes to me from the Lord.
Yeah.
And that's such a blessing. Happiness tends to be more maybe from external factors.
Yeah.
So what am I really enjoying about life
yeah.
these days? I'm really enjoying family a lot. I have the privilege of living right next door to my daughter, Kara, and her husband, Justin, and their 3 kids. And you know what? Getting to enjoy those 3 kids and their lives and watching
yeah.
them grow up, it's such a gift. So family is a huge gift. My other daughter lives in England, but
yeah.
she was just here. And I tell you what, watching our kids and their kids just enjoy life, that brings us great joy
yeah.
and happiness. Another thing I'm just really enjoying is working in the yard. I have found it so relaxing to be outside and to be in God's beautiful creation.
Mm-hmm.
So that's real relaxing. So I'm finding different things.
Yeah. How has your idea of happiness changed over the years?
I think one thing maybe is I do have a bit of a competitive spirit
yeah.
in me. And so I'll just be confessional with you here that sometimes I used to think it had to do with success
yeah.
and what success might look
mm-hmm.
like. And I remember years ago when we were pastoring a church in Fort Wayne, Indiana,
mm-hmm.
and I was pastor of evangelism
mm-hmm.
and discipleship. And I was so, to be honest, I wanted to bring people to Jesus. I love bringing people to Jesus. But I was also concerned that we were bringing enough people to
yeah.
Jesus, you know, in terms of what would the church think or what
might
somebody...
Pressure.
Yeah, there was pressure that you felt like you had to succeed
yeah.
maybe in a particular way. And I think the older I get, the more that I realize those are man-made pressures.
Yes.
And often... they're self-imposed
mm-hmm.
pressures.
Yeah.
And I've kind of learned now, if I could tell my younger self, I would tell my younger self, chill out a little bit.
Just relax and enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm actually using the word happiness a lot because it's from the word in the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus keeps repeating, blessed, happy, and fortunate
mm-hmm.
are those that do certain things, the peacemakers and things like that. So I just wanted to make that
oh, yeah.
distinction so we can understand why I'm not using joy. People would expect me to use joy more.
But no,
yeah.
I get that.
When life gets hard,
yeah. Yeah.
what have you come to know about God's nearness?
Well, what I've come to know is that sensing God's nearness, even when life gets hard, is rather dependent upon my willingness to be spending time with the Lord.
Yeah.
And so sometimes when life gets hard, we can almost draw back from
mm-hmm.
the Lord because we're maybe frustrated or disappointed
yeah.
about what we're going through. And then we tend to blame God.
Yeah.
Well, God isn't very near. But I would also say that if we're going through some really deep, dark waters, the best thing to do is just stop and slow down and spend time in God's holy presence. And what you discover is that God has been and always is near.
Yeah.
God is there in the midst of it all.
Yeah.
And surprisingly, and I'll use the word joy here, mm-hmm. that even in the midst of something really deep and difficult, when we draw near to Him, we can still find joy.
Yeah, definitely. Because it's about His presence.
That's right.
And also enjoying the blessings that you still have. That's something that I'm beginning to learn now, especially one of the episodes is about seeking righteousness and loving mercy, mm-hmm. and the concept that two things can be true at the same time. Mm-hmm. And so when we go out after the writing, we can also have a posture of compassion and mercy.
Right.
But also in terms of joy and happiness, that I can be joyful, I can be content, even though there are some things in my life yeah. that are making me really sad and frustrated at the moment.
Yeah.
So then you've watched a lot of people chase happiness. And so what would you say, what's the difference between the way the world seeks happiness and the stuff that Jesus teaches on the Sermon on the Mount?
Well, I've seen a lot of people chase happiness, and it tends to be about things. It's like, how many things can I accumulate? How much money can I accumulate? And I think at the end of the day, for most of those people, I have found that's not satisfying. I worked with a doctor once a long time ago, and I remember one day he came into work and he had on this t-shirt that says, "He who dies with the most toys wins."
Wow.
And I just thought, that's really sad. But I watched this man and he lived like that. This was when I was very young. Chuck was a youth pastor. We were at our first church. Uh-huh. I was working as a nurse. We're poor,
yes.
right out of seminary. And yet I thought to myself, I have a much happier, more joyful life than that doctor. Because he was, and the things that they sought after, I'm like, what in the world? And I found so much joy in being with people, mm-hmm. ministering to people, watching lives be changed. That's where I find joy, is in relationships and being with others. And I feel like, if I can look back on my life, I can say, I feel like I am so rich in relationships.
Yeah.
You know, this week, it's just a short little story. My daughter, Christy, had mm-hmm. been here, and she was flying back home to England, and she got stuck in Copenhagen because they told her that something wasn't right on her document. So her whole family gets on the plane and flies to Manchester, and they leave her in Copenhagen.
Oh, wow.
And she has to do some work to electronically mm-hmm. attach something, whatever. But it could take 24 hours up to 5 days. She's like, Mom,
5 days.
Up to 5 days,
yeah.
stuck in Copenhagen. So she did get a hotel. But in the meantime, I was able to be on the WhatsApp with Chezzy
yeah.
and Denny, and then with Kiowa.
Yeah.
And the next thing I know, our district superintendent in Denmark writes me, and he says, well, just tell her if it's not cleared up by tomorrow, we're coming to get her, and she's going to stay at our house,
yeah.
and we'll take care of her until she flies home. And it gave such relief to my daughter, such relief to me. She ultimately got to go home and didn't do that. But see, I feel like I am rich in relationships because here my daughter is stranded in Copenhagen, but yes, God has given us friends through the years that live in that city. And you know what? That is so much better than the guy with the t-shirt that says, he who dies with the most toys wins.
It's like having family all around the world.
It is.
And
it
is. I think that's one of the blessings of being a child of God.
Yeah.
Because your family is not just blood relatives,
right.
but it's everybody that's connected to you.
That's right.
Through the blood of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad she made it home.
She did, yeah. I know.
So, is there a line from Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount just you when you feel like life is getting a bit difficult?
Well, what's interesting is I have preached a lot from the Sermon on the Plain.
Yeah. Which is the Luke, one in Luke.
The one in
yeah.
Luke. And so there's this one phrase that really touches me. In Matthew's gospel, it says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will
yeah.
be comforted. And that's such a beautiful thing. Because mm. I think about even Jesus coming up to Mary and Martha, and Lazarus is dead, and they're mourning. And he knows he's going to raise Lazarus from the dead, and yet he is so in tune to them that he stands there and cries.
Yeah, he mourns with them.
He mourns
yeah.
with them. And so I think there's beauty in that, and knowing that the Lord has our emotions kind of, he's there touching them. But what I do like, and I'm going to throw in about Luke's gospel,
yeah.
it says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will laugh.
But it will laugh?
Uh-huh.
I think I missed it. But...
And so, well, that I have just like, I'm like, oh, not only does he want to comfort us,
yeah, But he promises laughter.
That we're going to get through this, and we're actually going to come out the other side, and we're going to be joyful, and we're going to be happy. And so Luke somehow grabs onto that. And I love that idea that God says, not only am I going to be with you, you're going to laugh. And that laughter is a gift from God.
Yeah, and it's such a physical expression of what's actually happening inside of you. It will be like evidence.
Yes.
Of the change that God is bringing about in your life.
Yeah.
I like that. I'll have to go back to look and see that. So what practices help you to stay rooted in what is a real joy and not fake or counterfeit joy? Because it's very easy to get tempted to go back to people's approval, to go back to success and the things that used to be our way of finding joy. So what are the practices that you have that help you to stay rooted and on the right track?
Well, I know they sound really simple, but prayer and scripture are both. And honestly, and you know this, that we're really busy as general superintendents.
Yeah.
And it can get really busy day after day, and we're going from morning till night. And that's when I catch myself. Am I rooted?
Yeah.
And I have to go back to, and so even some mornings, I use an app called the Dwell app, and I listen to the Bible through in a year. And so I'll lay in bed and go ahead, you know, and listen to scripture before I even get out of bed, so that I am focused on the Word of God and spending time in prayer. It's like, okay, you better do this before you even get out of bed today, because I have to stay rooted. I find that's really important for me. And those are really the most important pieces. I do have a group of ladies that I pray with every Thursday. We started during COVID, and it was a group of people that had committed to pray for me in my ministry. And during COVID, we said, well, why don't we get together on Zoom? And actually, here we are 6 years later, every Thursday morning at 7 a.m. And we were all talking about it, about how we have grown spiritually in the last 6 years, so that it has grown so far beyond where that started and what God has been doing with that whole group. And that's just a real blessing. And I think it's really important for all of us to be rooted. I think even is to make sure we have a place of accountability. And for me, it would be really easy not to have a place of accountability, because I'm not home enough to go to a church regularly. I'm on the go all the time. I get to be with church people, but I'm with different people every week. And I think the other thing in terms of being rooted is in my relationship with my husband. And that he and I both know that we have to really make priorities for each other.
Be intentional about your relationship. So scripture, accountability, and prioritizing your relationship with your husband. For me, scripture has become such an important part of my life. And doing the podcast has helped me to just get back into it. And it helped me to refocus on what is really important and who I am in Christ. So I would really affirm the importance of staying in scripture.
And right now I'm working on a new book on the Holy Spirit. And I'll just tell you what, I love to read historical stuff. So I'm reading things about early holiness preachers and stuff. That's really grounding too, and challenging. You read it and you're like, oh, am I anywhere? What would they think of us in this generation? I mean, they were so sold out, and it was so powerful. So all of those practices, I think, and I think the things like that you and I enjoy are studies. We both went to the same school to get our PhDs. And so I think living into those gifts can help us really be rooted too.
And it's different depending on who you are, right? Like for us, it is reading and studying, but for other people, it might be worship and music and walking outside and things like that, and communing with God. And so we have to be intentional about what is specific to our nature. Since you are a female leader, and it's not really our main topic, but I can't leave that out. So the question is, what would you say to a woman who senses God's call in her life, but she struggles to believe that she's up to it?
Oh, wow. I am going to start with a funny story. So a few weeks ago, we had our BGS meetings all week,
right?
But we finished on Thursday. And so on Friday, I went to the chiropractor. And she's working on me. And she says, your left side, which is your feminine side, is all tied up in knots. And she said, you spend a lot of time with a bunch of men or something?
Okay.
I said, yeah, I do.
That's interesting.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
And she told me, she said, I'm just going to give you a piece of advice. And she said, you need to lean a little bit more into your feminine side.
Okay.
To find balance in your life. So that's just kind of an interesting.
She's like a chiropractor and a teacher at the same time, a philosopher.
Yeah. But I do think it relates to the question, because we do live in a world where we have most of the models of leadership are male.
Yeah.
And so probably I do lean into that. Mm-hmm. Because that's the world that I'm in, and those are the models that I've had. And Dr. Nina Gunter was a beautiful model, but that was already back a ways, yeah. You know? And so I guess what I want to say to women is, first of all, we are women, so embrace your feminine side.
Yeah, definitely.
Be a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And a woman leader doesn't look like, act like, or have to be just like a male leader.
Wow.
And that's okay. Mm-hmm. And our resume doesn't look just like a man's resume. Mm-hmm. And that would be one thing I'd like to say to young women is, you know, the reality is that the raising of children tends to fall much more on women than on men.
Yes.
And especially I've seen this lately with young women who've gone into ministry.
Mm-hmm.
They're kind of frustrated because they feel like so much of our time has to be spent with the children. We're not progressing in our careers the way some of the men are. And it's really true.
Yeah.
Because they will have guys that they went to seminary or to college with, and they're already being offered large churches, and the gals are struggling with taking care of children.
Yeah.
And generally get offered a church that's a little bit more of a challenge.
Definitely.
And so, but what I want to say is this, there are different seasons in life, and this is part of what I've learned. You know, I really went into this ministry almost in the second season of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I adore working with the Board of General Superintendents, but sometimes I can tell some of them have been doing it a lot longer than I have.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel like I'm just getting started.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually feel like I'm more in a season of flourishing now.
Yeah.
When maybe they're thinking more about retirement. And so I guess what I want to say is we're not going to look just like the men. The timeline may not be just like the men.
Yes.
But it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because I believe that God has a plan.
Yes.
And so you just lean into that and lean into the time and the season when God gives it to you.
Yeah. Seasons are so important.
Yeah.
And we have to enjoy the season that we are in, but we mustn't be afraid when God opens the door and gives us the opportunity to walk through it.
Yeah.
Well, just a final question. What advice would you give to all our audience, men and women included, on how to stay rooted and be happy and joyful as they minister and live out God's mission to the world?
Well, one of the words you used was rooted.
Mm-hmm.
And since I've been out working in my garden a lot.
Yeah.
But I think about that. You know, every day I go out and I look at my garden and, you know, like I had to see if it rained last night or not. And it did rain last night. Yeah, so I didn't have to water today.
Yeah.
But for those plants to really grow and to be beautiful, they have to be rooted.
Yeah.
They have to be watered.
Mm-hmm.
They have to be fed. And so for us to be rooted and really grow, we need to be like those plants.
Yeah.
But we need to be rooted into the soil of Jesus Christ, whatever that might look like for you.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't happen by accident.
Yeah.
It happens because we're intentional. And so if we want to have this Christian life that the Lord wants us to have, we actually have to put effort into it. It doesn't just happen to us.
Yeah. We need to be intentional.
Absolutely.
And prioritize it.
You do.
Yeah. Like everything else in life.
That's right. Yeah. Whatever's important to you, you will make time and space for it.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. This has been such a blessing. And I'm sure we've all learned a lot about what it means to be joyful and rooted in the love of Christ.
Well, and part of being joyful is getting to sit in Samantha's living room and to get to visit with her, and that God gives us friends. Yeah. So that's part of being rooted.
Yeah, I'm so thankful. I can say that Carla is one of the people that inspires me and gives me wisdom and advice when I need it. So I'm so thankful for you.
Well, and I'm so thankful for you.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to see what all God does through you.
Thank you. Well, that's our episode for today. Thank you for joining us. remember to go and look for our book on my website or on our social media pages, What is Real Happiness? It's a book that can be used for your women's Bible studies, your small group Bible studies, or your individual Bible studies. And next week, I have a special treat for you because I will be interviewing my husband, Dr. Phyllis Shambo, and he will share what brings him joy and happiness. Thank you for being here today. And remember, no matter your story, in Christ you are fully known, deeply loved, and you have a divine purpose. Until next time, keep living love.